in your tape deck, and we'll be coming to you in just 2 minutes with Alaska Gold Trails. Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska, or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes, or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. The first thing we need to do this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, of course, is to make certain that we get the address of Oxford Assaying and Refining right. Oxford Assaying and Refining is located at 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number is 456-3967 if you need some information regarding precious metals. And, of course, they have a quote line if you're interested in the prices of gold, silver, and platinum. You can call their quote line at 452-7858. And this afternoon, of course, we're going to have a little contest in which the winner will receive a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, located once again at 208 Wendell Street. The question today, of course, deals with one of our sponsors, and the sponsor that we're interested in discussing today is located at 456-6156, and we'd like to know who they are and where they are and what they do. Of course, we need to know a great deal about what they do. And once again, our number here is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. So give us a call if you have the answer, and we'll take the third call on that. Who is the sponsor that is located at the phone number 456-6156? I'll take the third call. The first two calls, we'll see that they get a crystalline geode from Alaskan Prospectors located at 504 College Road. That's that ugly Quonset hut located right there on College at the corner of College and Blanche. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Now that's Gabe's Truck and Auto.
That's Gabe's Truck and Auto. Thank you for your call, my friend. And if you'll give me your first name, you can just drop on over there at Alaskan Prospectors. They'll be open tomorrow and Saturday, and you can pick up a crystalline geode. How's that?
Okay, this is John.
Oh, hi, John. How are you today?
Just fine.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today.
Well, have fun. Bye.
Got anything else? Okay. Hi, you're caller number two. Hello? I lost caller number two, I guess. Hello? You're on the air? Seems that I've lost a couple of lines here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. The thing said my call cannot be completed. I don't know what happened. It's Gabe's Truck and Auto.
It's Gabe's Truck and Auto, and you're caller number two.
All right.
And if you'll give me your first name, you can drop over at Alaskan prospectors tomorrow or Saturday and picked up a crystalline geode. And besides that, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, Gabe's Truck and Auto is real good with the IM. You can do it and you don't have to pay until it passes. So that's they started that, and that's a real good deal
okay.
for people.
Well, thank you very much for that information. What is your first name?
Debbie.
Debbie? Okay, once again, Debbie, stop over at Alaskan Prospectors, pick up that geode. I'm sure you'll like it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, your caller number three.
Well, hi. This is Elsie.
Elsie.
Yes.
And tell us, Elsie, tell us all about this sponsor. Who is it located at 456-6156?
That's Gabe's Truck and Auto, and he's been in business here for many years.
He sure has.
He does very excellent work.
And Elsie, did you want to give me a last initial?
Yes, D.
D, okay. Elsie, tell us a little bit more about Gabe's Truck and Auto, if you will.
Well, I just know he, like I'm saying, from anybody I've ever talked to that has had work done at Gabe's Truck and Auto, they've been very satisfied and very pleased with his work. He's very dependable, reliable, and I sure hope he's feeling better, by the way.
Yes, I understand that he did have some problems there, didn't he?
Yes, he sure did. He had some pretty severe or serious ones, and I'm just hoping that he's, I don't know if he's even back to work yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand his brother has been running it very efficiently for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people would never be disappointed if they took their work there.
No, that's for sure. I personally have been taking my work there for a number of years, and we've had a great deal of success with Gabe's.
Right. They're a very good shop.
Elsie, there's a couple of other things that they do that perhaps the listening audience might like to know, and the previous caller commented on the IM inspection, which is, of course, the no-pass, no-pay policy, and also Gabe's deals with engine and general vehicle maintenance, and besides that, they deal with all sizes of equipment, or autos and light trucks and motorhomes and even big rigs, and they, of course, have a towing service over there with three wreckers that are available 24 hours a day. And we got a comment, too, Elsie, that if, you know, during the bad weather that we've had and may continue to experience for the next few months, it might be wise to have Gabe's telephone number handy in case you have an emergency, and that's 456-6156. And they, of course, are located at 2058 Donald Road. But better than that is that they're just off of Van Horn near Metro Field over there. And we want to make certain that our listening audience has that information. Elsie, you know what you've just done?
What?
You've just won a 1-ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying Refining.
Oh, very good.
By the way, Elsie, do you know where they're located?
Aren't they located on College Road?
No.
Well, then, I'm sorry.
Oxford Assaying and Refining is located at 208 Wendell Street.
208 Wendell.
Right
were
there.
Were they ever on College Road?
No, not Oxford. That's Alaskan Prospectors in the Quonset Hut. But I'll tell you, you drop over there at Oxford, and of course, one thing that I should comment on is when you go over to Oxford, take a look. They have a beautiful little display. It's a very small gold and coin display with gold and silver coins of various types on display. It's a very small display, but a very beautiful display. I'm certain that you'll enjoy seeing that, as well as picking up your silver ingot. And, of course, you want to stop up here at Washington Plaza at the KFAR studio, pick up your certificate, and then take it over to Oxford, and they will be happy to give you your ingot.
Thank you so very much.
And Elsie, thanks so much for joining us here on Alaska Gold Trails at KFAR.
Well, next time I'll be more knowledgeable as to exactly what Gabe's.
You did fine.
Well, I've known of him for so many years, and I know that people have been so totally satisfied, but I didn't go into enough detail, I guess.
No, you've done fine.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is Cliff Hayden, and he's here with us in the studio, and of course, you know that we had Cliff Hayden on a couple of weeks ago, and I think we, as far as we got with Cliff, was up to Petersburg. He never made it out of Petersburg. We spoke about his life and the fact that he had spent a lot of time in and around Washington, and then ultimately came into Petersburg and was on his way to interior Alaska, but for some reason got stopped in Petersburg And he spent three seasons there working on a boat. Cliff, tell us, what kind of work did you do on the boat?
Well, I had no intentions of staying any length of time down in southeastern Alaska. Originally, I'd had a ticket when I left Seattle for Seward. But some charming young ladies in Seattle wished me to stop off in Petersburg and visit their folks. So I did. And I visited this young lady's father in his office. He was with Pacific American Fisheries. His name was George Ringsted. He was superintendent of Pacific American Fisheries for the fishing along the coast of Alaska. So he said, "You don't want to go on into the interior. Why, there's plenty of work here. I'll give you a job," he said. And I said, "Oh, no, I wish to go to the interior of Alaska." And he said, "Just a minute." He said, "I know, just because you know my daughters, you don't wish to go to work for me." So he grabbed a telephone, and he rung up a little place down along the Narrows, the Scaw Bay, and he had Oscar Nicholson, the man that owned the Scaw Bay Packing Company, on the line. He says, "I have a young man here that needs a job. He can do anything." Well, Oscar apparently said, "The only thing I have open is I need a cook for the Ira the Second." And this, Ringsted said, "He is a good cook." And he turned over to me and he said, "Can you cook anything?" I said, "Just a little bit." "Oh, Oscar, he is the man you need." Now, Oscar apparently told him he'd hire me. And so after he got off the line, he says, "Are you sure you can do just a little cooking?" I said, "Yes, certainly I can do a little cooking." Well, he said, "You don't have to worry too much. The skipper on the Ira the Second has ulcers, so does the engineer." And he said, "One old deckhand eats stew all winter long, and the new one, why, you don't need to pay any attention to him, so you'll make out all right." So after working around Petersburg for a week or two, I went down and got on the Ira the Second, and I spent that summer working on a little Ira the Second as a cook. And I got a lot of help, but I became famous because I could make fair donuts. Well, one of my regular customers there was young mining engineer. He went up to the university, and his name was Douglas Culp. And he was a regular customer there. I guess they weren't too bad because Douglas is still fairly healthy. But after spending 1 year away on the Ira the Second as a cook, the owner of the cannery said, "Well, Hayden, I want you to come back next year. But so help me, you're not going to be the cook on the Ira the Second because you just turned it into a donut factory." So I went back the next year, and the funny thing was, everybody told me, when I even got off there, they said, "You don't look like a Scandinavian to me." And I said, "That's one thing I'm not." "Well, you just as well not stop off there." And because 98% of the people are Norwegians from the old country, their children, and that kind of clannish and this and that. And so I just didn't pay any attention to this talk. I'd heard the talk like that before, but I never met a group of people where I had so much fun and was so happy with them. They were very cautious. The young people, even though they were all from the old country, that they'd never speak Norwegian in front of me. If one would make a mistake, the other would say, "How would you feel if you were in Hayden's position?" And everybody spoke a different language. So, but of course, they overlooked it with the old-timers, and so I kept telling them, well, next year I'm going to Fairbanks, because I want to get up to Fairbanks where that in when I was in the fourth grade, in my geography book, there was a picture of them thrashing hay with a, or grain with an ancient thrashing machine, and then that was in the summer, and then in the winter there's 10 foot of snow on these buildings. And I said, that's where I want to go. And so when it came to the, I got ready to head for Fairbanks in 37, I get a call from some of my friends. I was living in Spokane that winter, and they said, Oscar says he has a first-class ticket for you to go at a certain date back to Petersburg. Now, come on and go back. So back to Petersburg for the third year I went, and that year, it seemed like as years went by, these young Scandinavians would teach me to do anything around on the boat, but anything they didn't like to do, they tried extra hard to make certain I could do it, whether it was working in the top loft or the pile driver or anything like that. They would make certain I was good at it. Oh, Cleef, he is real good at it. So I did work on the top loft of the pile driver, and so Oscar Nicholson, the owner of the cannery, he'd get out on shore and he'd say, how does it look? He'd yell at me, should we go a little one way or the other? And don't you think it ought to go a little port or starboard? And I'd say, yes, I think so, Oscar. And then he'd say, well, now, doesn't that look about right? Yes, I'd say, sinker, boys, sinker. And when the end of the season came, he said, Cleef, I couldn't have done a better job myself. So we got that job done. And
that was your second year, huh, Cleef?
Pardon?
That was your second year.
No, that was the third year.
You were 3 years in Petersburg.
Yes. So, but then there was something else came up, that they were having a good run of fish down off of Cape Ulitka, and they was going to send two cannery tenders down there to buy them. So one day Oscar came to me when they got about ready to go, and he said, Cleef, would you go with Brand X, Johnny so-and-so, on his boat to bring my boat home? I said, what's he for? Well, he is awful good at buying or getting in the area, and everybody knows him and they like him. And then you do the counting of the fish and things like that, and if some poor little fellow is just getting by with a small boat, give him a few extra clicks on the counter. And that all helped, see. So I said, okay. So I go down there, and I'm not kidding you, we'd load that old boat up and get the hold full, and then we'd put the canvas over the hatch. Then we'd even throw them on deck, and I'd keep watching for the water to come over the deck. And in the meantime, Denny and some of the fellows were having a little toddy in the galley, and so Denny would say, well, now look, I've got to take a nap, and you can go home the shortcut I came down on, or you can go clear out and around and come up by Warren Island and come in through that way. And I said, look, I'll see for certain by the time we hit Wrangleras, you're out of bed. Okay, okay. Well, how I ever got that boat up to the southern end of Wrangell Narrows, I don't know. But there's a little girl here on my shoulder somewhere. And I got there, and we had a little Filipino cook. And everybody had confidence in me except the little Filipino cook. And of course, in that time of the fall, we'd be having fog, and it was night, you know, and so I'd have the window open, a-poking my head out, you know, the pilot house, and here was this Filipino cook back there with a weird little mandolin a-going clinkety-clinkety-clink, and I put the peg in the wheel, and I went back, and I says, Cookie, you go on back in and or go down below and go to sleep. No, no, no. I said, you do it or I'll throw you overboard. He said, go ahead and throw me overboard. At least I'll die on the surface of the water. So that got us to Wrangell Narrows.
Hey, Cliff, I want to come back in just 1 minute, and we're going to talk some more about your adventures in southeastern Alaska.
Okay.
Right at the moment, folks, I want to talk about one of my new sponsors. You heard about him last week. That's Robbie Gunther at Tip Top Chevrolet. That's who they are. Where are they located? Well, they're located at 1916 Cushman. And what do they do? Well, of course, they sell Chevrolet automobiles and, of course, trucks. They also sell Buicks. And, of course, they have General Motors quality service parts. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, and if you'd like to get a little information from those folks down there, their phone number is 452-8211. Once again, Tip Top Chevrolet is your one-stop center for new Chevrolets, used cars, parts, and, of course, authorized service. Their location, once again, 1916 Cushman, 452-8211 for a little information. And tell Robbie and the folks down there you heard about their sponsorship of Alaska Gold Trails from Jim right here on KFAR Radio.
When you buy a new Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury, you get a fine vehicle recognized worldwide for its quality. But what really counts most of all is how you are taken care of after the sale. We can provide a service plan which includes everything from wiper blades to oil and filter changes, all in the price of the car. But best of all, we have 45 vehicles dedicated to keeping you on the road while your car or truck is being serviced. 45 cars for our customers at no cost, and nobody else in town has even one. Quality care for quality customers right now, right here at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury. See you here.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath.
Give your car a midwinter bath at the all-new Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories. Universal Car Wash will get rid of the dirt and grime and give your car a brand new shine, inside and out. Right now, save $5 on their introductory specials. A car wash for only $9.95. And in and out, just $14.95. And with every introductory special, you'll get a free movie rental from Solar Universal Video. The all-new Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories. Open 8 to 8, 7 days a week, across from Jeffries on the Old Steese Highway.
If your water can talk, would it sound like this?
You like that rust stain I left in your sink?
Then it sounds like you've got problem water, which ruins your clothes and doesn't even smell very good.
Let's not get personal.
Call your Culligan man. He'll solve your water problems with a Culligan water conditioner.
I was tired of doing the dirty work anyway.
Take care with Culligan.
Call Culligan today. Call 474-0272. That's 474-0272.
Once again, folks, we're here on Alaska Gold Trails. Cliff Hayden is our guest this afternoon. And if you'd like to ask Cliff a question or make a comment here, the number is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. Cliff, tell us, what did you do? What did you do after your third summer up here in Petersburg? You went outside each winter?
Yes, that was true. I had many friends over around Butte, well, and throughout Montana, especially around Butte, Montana, where I'd gone to sign up to go to school, to Montana School of Mines. And so I started in the fall, when the first fall I went over there to go to school, and shortly after school started, I got the influenza, and I missed quite a bit of time, and I'd already been late getting into school, so Dr. Thompson, who was something like Dr. Bunnell as far as the University of Alaska, that he was the same to School of Mines as far as I could find out, he took a kind of a liking to me, and he says, look, I'll line you out to go out with some mining people, which I did. Well, then in the fall of 37, I went back again and to go to school. Now, he said, come on, let's be realistic. He said, you're not going to spend a whole year here. He said, but there is a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Evans. The Evans brothers is twins. One of them had the Acoma Hotel in Butte, Montana, but Jimmy had gotten a job with the Colonel Perry Mining Company and went down in Africa someplace to mine diamonds. But by the fall of 37, the price of gold was up from what it had been, and the Colonel Perry Mining Company sent Jimmy back to Montana to go over these old placer fields to see if he could find gold that would be worthwhile to mine that had been overlooked or as it was at $28 an ounce too. Well, it wasn't rich enough. So anyway, Dr. Thompson said, let me give Jimmy a call because he's looking for somebody that can be a handyman that knows something about, had some experience in all types of mining. But he said he's a wonderful fellow to work with. So he gave him a call, and I went up to the Acoma Hotel, and he signed me up to go along as his handyman. And I went all around from Townsend, Montana to Jackson, and then we came back to western Montana and went up nearly to the Canadian border and some of there, and they had three outfits are going, but and he spent a lot of time going over the way he had been taught and from his experience in mining, and I was with him till up into December, and then I came to back to Spokane when I had to close things down, and I says, this time come the 1st of May, I'm going to be in Seattle and armed with a ticket in the last steamship company to go to, this time I will go to Seward. And so now I'm at the New Hungerford Hotel, if you drift back down memory lane with me, 1st of May, 1938. And so it is a place that a number of Alaskans hung out there, and so as soon as I got there, I met with some of my friends I'd made in southeastern Alaska. And, of course, one of the first things they wanted to do after they got all lined out with their tickets or with their bosses, fishing bosses, to go to Alaska, well, how about us going down to Ballard? Now, Ballard, why, it had some nice Scandinavian restaurants and hangouts where we went down there to visit because we always got good food and there's friends down there. And so we were sitting in this restaurant, Scandinavian restaurant, and having a good time. And along comes a little old man. To me, he was old. He was 65, I'd say. And a lot of these young fellas knew him. And they said, are you going back up north? Yes, he said, but I have a little problem. And they said, what's your problem? Well, he said, an outfit I know from up at Kodiak bought a boat, a big can retender, and they want it taken to Kodiak. But he said, my problem is this. He said, I have a good cook and a good young diesel engineer, but I have six college boys, relatives of the people that own this cannery in Kodiak, and all of their experience has been in pleasure boats on Puget Sound. And he said, if I could get somebody that knew how to watch that compass where I could lay down and take a nap till these boys get used to being out on salt water and so forth and handling this boat, he said, if I could just get them to go to Ketchikan. And, of course, he talked to some of the fellas in New. No, no, I'm going with so-and-so. I'm already signed on to this and that. And they said, how about Hayden here? Why, he's been in Petersburg area for 3 weeks, and he even was out with a fish-buying outfit last fall off of Cape Ulitka, and he can handle a boat. And so the fellow said, well, how about it, Mr. Hayden? And I said, look, I have my ticket, and this time I'm going to go right out of here to Seward. And, well, he said, I'm in a bind now. He said, can't you help me? Oh, I said, all right, I'll go. And so I went and cashed in my ticket and made arrangements at a certain date. If, Lord willing, we made it to Ketchikan or Juneau. I wanted to go on up to Juneau. So I had my ticket fixed to a certain date from Juneau. And so in about 2 or 3 days, why, this outfit that had bought this boat to go to Kodiak, they sent a rig to pick me and my things up and take me down to the sea of this boat. And, oh, it was a beautiful big white boat trimmed in green. And on it was the words Fidelity. Now, so I said, by golly, this here, it has rooms for, you know, and so forth, so that the crew can have plenty of space to get around, a nice big galley. And I got in there and I met the cook, and he was a very pleasant fellow. And then they took me on down to meet the young diesel engineer in an engine room and left me a-talking with him for a while. And I said, say, was that one of the first diesels ever put in a seagoing rig like this? And the engineer laughed. He said, I don't know why I signed on this rig. He said, man, it is, I think, the first diesel engine. And I got to looking at it a little bit, and I said, gee, it's all painted up nice. He says, that's the problem. They covered everything up with paint. He said, looks to me like it's going to be a rough deal. So anyway, well, he said, we'll muck it somehow. And he said, have you ever been up in the interior before? And I said, no. I tried to 3 years ago, but I got stymied in Southeastern. And he said, I have a brother that works in a place in Fairbanks called a Model Cafe. You know, that helped a little later on in the year. And anyway, the fellas all got aboard, and as I see, a nicer bunch of fellas, about 25 years old, college men, you'd never have met any place. But they were all happy-go-lucky, and so finally we took off on the tide, and we headed for Alaska. Well, I don't think we were 8 hours away from Seattle till these young men renamed the boat. The Infidelity. They found so many things wrong, and the daggone fuel line started to leak going to the engine. And as always, they had to have one man down there with the engineer at all times. So that left the captain and I in the pilot house a lot. And so then we got up along the way, along the coast, and we were sailing along fine one night. And the captain said, I'll have one of these young men take over. He's pretty sharp on this, and you lay down, but don't go below or anything, and just lay down on the bench here, and if he needs you, why, he'll shake you. And gosh, after a few hours, I woke up, and I looked out the window of the pilot house, and here there was rocks and trees not over 200 or 300 yards on each side of us. And looking ahead, it looked like we were going into a blind alley up the dead end cove. And I run back and I shook the captain, and he was tired, and he said, Hayden, you're getting too nervous. I said, you'll be nervous too when you take a look out the pilot house window, and he dashed in there in his long johns, and he rang the bell for the engineer to throw her in reverse or something. So, well, the old man had a good sense of humor. He said, everybody's going to learn. But he said to this young man, he said, what happened? He said, you were right on course for a long time. Well, he said, I saw something off interesting over to the port or starboard, and I looked back, so I had to compensate for my mistake.
Hey, Cliff, we want to come back in just a minute and talk a little bit more about your adventures of getting that the infidelity up to Ketchikan. So with that, I want you folks out there to listen to this ad, and then after that, turn your telephone book over, and you can follow through with me on one of my very special sponsors of Alaska Gold Trails.
What's the shortest distance between two points? Kathy Steele at Travel Center. In Fairbanks, Kathy handles everything from getting the country's best firefighters to where the action is, to getting you where the action isn't. So talk to Kathy. Talk to Travel Center.
The best deal between Fairbanks and Phoenix starts at 516. Fares are round-trip travel by March 5th with a 30-day advance non-refundable purchase. Other restrictions apply. For details, talk to Travel Center.
Our very special sponsor, of course, has a beautiful advertisement on the back end of the municipality municipal utility system telephone directory, and that, of course, is B&L Pawn Shop. And the ad is a hide stretched across some poles, and in the middle of the ad, you see Mount McKinley beautifully portrayed there. Beneath that, it says that B&L Pawn has dynamite deals, and if you need a grubstake, we take consignment goods, and if we don't sell it, you don't pay us our commission. They loan, they buy, they sell, they trade, they deal. They've got cameras, stereos, gold, TV, video, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns, car stereos. Their phone number, 452-3063 or 452-6491. They're located at 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. And what's not on that advertisement that you need to know? You tell Killer that you heard about the B&L Pawn right here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim, and she's going to sweeten any deal that you make with her. Once again, don't forget to tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails. We're going to be back with Cliff Hayden in just 1 minute. But before that, I want to tell you about another fine sponsor. And, of course, that's Days Inn in Anchorage. They're located at 321 East 5th Avenue, 5th and Cordova Street, Anchorage, Alaska. And their telephone number is 276-7226. Or they have a 800 toll-free number at 1-800-325-2525. And where they're located, of course, downtown, they have 116 rooms and free parking. They opened their doors in 1984. They have an airport limousine and airport courtesy telephone. Rental cars are available, and, of course, they have a tour desk. They also offer non-smoking rooms and, of course, have a 24-hour restaurant. Room service, wake-up and message service, in-house movies, satellite TV, free local calls, commercial rates, government rates, major credit cards are all accepted, and, of course, they have an exercise facility and a lounge. So, if you're traveling down to Anchorage, stop in at the Days Inn, located at 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova Street, and 4 reservations, use their 800 number. That's 1-800-325-2525. And once again, we're back here with Cliff Hayden. And if you have a question for Cliff, our number here is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK right here on Alaska Gold Trails. Cliff, tell us about the end of your adventure on the ship, bringing it up from Seattle.
The infidelity. Well, anyway, we then went for a long ways without having any problems, and we got up to quite a ways up along, and the skipper found a shelter cove we knew of, and we went in there and spent about 12 hours while the engineer was checking the boat over, and everybody rested, and then we took off, and we headed up, and we got to Queen Charlotte Sound, and the skipper says, Hayden, you're familiar with Queen Charlotte Sound? Yes, I said. I have came down, and I helped bring some boats down last fall from Petersburg to Seattle for repair work, some cannery tenders. And so he said, I'm going to lay down and take a nap. And so, by gollies, when we got to Queen Charlotte, I pulled way out into the ocean, and I headed out there, and then I was going to whip back and around, and I was way out there, and all at once, the diesel engine quit again. And the minute it quit, the captain, he jumped out of his bunk and come out of his quarters. What's wrong now? Well, fuel oil line is something wrong. We got to repair that. That'll take an hour, maybe. And the captain looked at where I was, and he said, what in the world's the matter with you, Hayden? You're way out in the ocean here. Well, I said, Tony Sather of Scow Bay Packing Company, whom I was with when we came down last fall, he recommended to me that you always should do it and pull out, and then if anything goes wrong, you're not in against the rocks. Well, he said, maybe that was a good idea. So we got the fuel aisle line patched, and we were maybe a quarter of a mile off the rocks when we got going again, and we headed on, and we had good luck until we got to Dixon's entrance, and we just nicely got out there, and I tell you, that was one of the roughest spots I'd ever seen in my years around the salt water. And here we were on the Infidelity, and but this old skipper, I'm not kidding, he was second to none as far as being a boat skipper in Alaskan waters. And so he's kind of quartered into the waves good and everything, and we was going along pretty nice, but all hands were in the pilot house or an extra man with a engineer, and all at once the fellow that was down below, he came running up yelling, we're taking on water. And so the captain said, hang on to the wheel, Hayden, and I'll go down. Well, what had happened, a wave, when he quartered around, it hit one of the portholes just right, and the old rotten iron around it dumped the whole thing right in on the floor in the engine room. And so, well, they said, we got to quarter the other way for a while now. And so we got to patch that hole. What are we going to do? Well, we had a case of kerosene. And a fella said, well, the captain said, take and dump the kerosene overboard, take the cans and the boards, save the nails, and we'll call for volunteers to go over the side. But he said, don't trust these handrails on this thing. Why, they might do you in. And so, of course, I was along for the adventure. So I said, I'll go over. And the young fellows were fighting over who was going over. So this one smaller fella, and they decided he'd go over with me. Then they'd put a line around him and one around under my arms and let us go overboard to do the work. And the captain wanted these big fellas to have the other end of the line in through the window, the pilot house, because they didn't want to trust anything, because everything we took a hold of seemed to come apart. So we went over the side, and we took and, oh, we plugged a bunch of stuff into the hole. Then we took the boards from the box, nailed them over with the nails from the box. Then we took the tins from the 2 5-gallon cans and put a double layer of that over, nailed them down good. Then we found something and nailed over the inside. So away we went again, and by gollies, it bounced around a lot, but that old skipper, he really got us to Ketchikan. But however, there were a few, two or three boats. Nobody lost their lives, but the boats were put up on the rocks in a spot or two, and they happened to be fortunate. And who did we see when we pulled in to anchor up in Ketchikan, here was the mighty Carlock, the pride of the PAF cannery tenders. It had been Everplace. You were the unsinkable. And who was the engineer on the thing but a fellow that I'd known for 3 years in southeastern Alaska by the name of Curly Mills. And he was a good engineer and good diesel man. And he came over and he said, Hayden, were you on that wreck last night? Yeah, sure, we had a little problems. He said, you know that handsome young skipper on the Carlock, he believed what the salesman told him when they got this boat. No, you couldn't sink it. And he headed right into one of those waves, and we all thought the wave was going to take the pilot house off. He said, I know it stretched the tie-down boats because I can see a crack around there. He said, boy, that skipper really got a lesson there. Well, anyway, here I am at Ketchikan, and I met a lot of old friends. I stayed around for about a day, and I didn't have too much time to lose. And I thumbed a ride to Juneau on a shrimper.
And you went to Juneau on a shrimper?
Pardon?
You say you thumbed a ride on a shrimper.
I did. But okay. I told a fella, first time I asked, was you're not going to stop at Petersburg. No, he said, why don't you like the people there? I said, too well.
Too well. Look, folks, I want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors here, and that, of course, is our friends over at Hector's Welding. Hector's Welding is located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and he's been serving Alaska for many years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. And I'd like to point out clearly that we're real proud of Hector and his work here in the placer mining industry, and that he has developed a multiple channel sluice box that is capable, of course, collecting finer and finer gold particles much more efficiently. And they have a variety of services that they offer over there. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks, and they do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And of course, as I pointed out earlier, mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. And of course, they also fabricate specialized riffles for your special needs. So if you folks are planning to get ready for the upcoming season, give Hector's a call. Their number is 488-6432, and once again, they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Their phone number, once again, 488-6432, and let them know that you heard about their support of the Alaska mining industry through Alaska Gold Trails right here on KFAR. And we have, Cliff, we have 1 minute. You say you hitched a ride to Juneau. You didn't want to stop in Petersburg. And I want to ask the question right now. Did you stop at Petersburg?
No, thank goodness the skipper on the shrimper kept his word. I made it to Juneau. I'm in Juneau sitting there waiting for 3 days for the steamship Alaska to take me on up to Seward. But it took me 40 more years to get to Seward.
Cliff, thanks for joining me here on Alaska Gold Trail.
You're welcome.
Folks, I'm going to be away from Fairbanks for the next few weeks. I'm going to have some tapes here from some pioneers in Alaska from other parts of the country. I hope you'll enjoy them. I'll be back on March 9th. On March 9th, I will have a guest from Alaska Women in Mining, and that's Sandy Stillion, and we'll discuss some of the Alaska Women in Mining activities. And until then, I want to thank Cliff Hayden for joining me here, and I think we're going to have Cliff back because we've just got to get him to Fairbanks, Alaska somehow. Two times we've tried, two times we failed, but we've learned a lot along the trip traveling north to Alaska. So until I talk to you again, folks, this is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Happy prospecting. You're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio down in our town of Fairbanks, Alaska.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Walker. The nomination of John Tower to become defense secretary could be in jeopardy. Then again, it may not be. but the people who know about the latest allegations against the former senator aren't talking right now. ABC's Bob Clark has the latest from Washington.
The Senate Armed Services Committee is holding up approval of John Tower as Secretary of Defense because of new allegations of an undisclosed nature against him. The nominee, a former senator and chairman of the committee, has been under fire from critics for both an alleged drinking problem and his close ties to defense suppliers. Committee members wouldn't say where the latest charges came from, but there were two that were serious enough to be referred to the White House and discussed with the FBI. The committee's chairman, Sam Nunn, wouldn't say whether the new information could place the Tower nomination in jeopardy. Bob Clark, ABC News, Washington.
I'll have more after this.
Alaska canned salmon has that wonderful salmon flavor. Plus, the natural oils that is part of a low-fat diet and exercise program can help reduce serum cholesterol. And a tall can of salmon goes a long way. One tall can of salmon will feed a family of 4 to 6 in a hearty salmon loaf, salmon patties, or in a quick salmon and pasta fettuccine. It's the best in the world. It's Alaska canned salmon. A message from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute.
Canned salmon from Alaska.
How will you live in the next century? Suddenly, the pace will be quicker. Yet life will be smoother, more comfortable. Introducing the restyled 1989 Buick Century, with premium features you expect from the best-selling Buick on the American road, at a price that will let you enter the next century very comfortably. Welcome to the next century by Buick.
The great American road.
A large plume of apparently toxic material hangs over Helena, Montana. This is the result of an earlier explosion which was caused by a runaway freight train that crashed into a locomotive. No injuries have been reported, but much of the town's electricity was cut for a while. Several people were evacuated from their homes. Governor Stan Stevens tells us about that.
It's a half-mile area. I would imagine probably 2,500 to 3,000 people at the outside.
The noxious cloud over Helena is moving to the southeast, but it remains an irritant to people's eyes and throats. Helena is also coping with sub-zero temperatures. Alaska's Governor Steve Cooper declaring a disaster for villages in northwest Alaska. The cold air has frozen water and sewer systems. Alaska has been sending a lot of its cold air down to the U.S. and Canada, but the crisis in that state continues. Towns that were in the minus 50 to 75 range have warmed up to the minus teens, but water and sewer pipes in schools, homes, and city buildings remain frozen. A bipartisan group of legislators plans to reintroduce legislation guaranteeing workers unpaid leave to care for a newborn child, a sick child, or a sick parent. Senator Edward Kennedy says some people lose their jobs because they can't take time out to care for sick children.
We have found a young father who was fired from his job in Vermont because he had a sick baby at home and a wife that was unable to care for that child. That story has been replicated in Florida, in the Northwest, in North Carolina, across...